Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva. There's an extra copy up here. Me'achar shenoda matan scharan shel mitzvos v'atov shenizkela im shamarnu derech Hashem hakasu b'Torah. Since we know the reward for observing mitzvos and the goodness that awaits those that follow the Torah, hi chay olam haba, which is olam haba, shenemar leman yitav lach v'harachta yamim, as the pasuk says, that observing the mitzvos will be good for you and you will have long days. And Chazal say, leman yitav lach is yom shekulo tov, day that's eternally long, and thus a reference to olam haba. And likewise, v'anekama shenokmim min harishayim she'azvu archos hatzedek haksuvos b'Torah, and the nekama that the wicked get who have abandoned the paths of Torah, hikares is kares, shenemar hikares tikares hanefsha hi avonaba. Remember that we saw that the Rambam understands that the ultimate punishment, the worst punishment, even worse than a Gehenna, as bad as that sounds, is absolute spiritual death. Meaning to say that when a person dies, they cease to exist. Their soul ceases to exist. For everybody else, but those most wicked. So when a person dies, their body and their soul separate. Their soul continues to exist, and their body does not. But the ultimate punishment is that even the soul ceases to exist. So once we know that the ultimate reward is olam haba, the ultimate punishment is lack of olam haba. There can be nothing worse than lack of olam haba because you don't even exist. So then, mahu zesh akasuv b'Torah kula, im tishmu yagia lachem kach v'im lo tishmu yikra eschem kach. L'chol osam hadverim ba'olam hazeh. What is it that the Torah refers to in many places where it says, well, if you do good, if you follow the mitzvot, then you'll get bounty and rain and prosperity in this world. And if you don't observe the Torah, so then there'll be famine and blight and war in this world. In other words, whenever the Torah seems to be discussing matan scharan shel mitzvos, it always appears to be focusing on olam hazeh. And of course, the Rambam just told us that the actual reward is the spiritual existence of olam haba. It's not physical, it's spiritual. So what's going on? Rambam says that the Torah focuses on olam hazeh, like sova v'ra'av, umilchama v'shalom, umalchus v'shiflus, v'yeshiva sa'aretz v'galus, v'atzlachas ma'aseh v'hefseido, u'sha'ar kol divrei habris. So the Gemara the Rambam answers, kol osam hadvarim emes hayu v'yihyu. All the things that the Torah promises, namely the physical reward and prosperity or punishment and exile for observing the Torah on a national basis, the Torah generally describes these rewards in terms of national observance, not individual. Individual who sins doesn't get struck by lightning, but when the nation sins, they will suffer the consequences. These things are all true. They have happened. The descriptions of the Tochacha and Parshas Bechukosa and Kisavo are strikingly true and scary. Those things are true. Uvizman shanu osim kol mitzvos haTorah, when we do the mitzvahs of the Torah, yagiu eleinu tovos haolam hazeh, kulan, we will get all the goodness of this world. Uzman shanu ovrim alein, and when we violate them, tikre'ena osanu haraos haksuvos, all the bad things will happen. V'afal pichein, ein osan hatovos, hein sof matan scharan shel mitzvos. That is not the actual reward, the ultimate reward for the mitzvos. The lo osan arose in sof hanakama shenokmin me over al kol mitzvos, and the punishments, famine and war and the like, aren't the punishment for violating the mitzvos. Meaning to say, the Torah does promise goodness for doing what's right and suffering for doing what's wrong, but the Torah doesn't say that's the schar and that's the onesh. Rather, what's the pshat? Elakachu hachra Kol HaDvarim. This is what is going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nasan Lanu Torah Zu Eitz Chaim Hi V'chol HaOseh Kol HaKasav Ba V'yod O Dea Gemur Nechona. So the Torah gave, Hashem gave us the Torah. It's a tree of life. And anyone who does that which is written in it, interesting, he says, V'yod O Dea Gemur Nechona, and you know it correctly, meaning to say, one both has to observe the Torah and know the Torah. Zocha v'alecha olam haba. Such a person, of course, will get olam haba. Lefi godel ma'asav, v'rov chachmaso, u'zocha. And to the extent that you observe the Torah and you know the Torah, so then that will be your reward in olam haba. V'ftichanu b'torah, shimnas osa b'simcha u'v'tovas nefesh. V'nega b'chachmasa tamid, and the Torah promised that if we do it with joy and very interesting description, right? Tovas nefesh. So doing mitzvos is not enough. It's really about doing them with the proper attitude. And we're constantly engaged in its wisdom. She asked menu hadvar hamonim osanu milasos. Then what will happen is that Hashem will take away the obstacles that would otherwise prevent us from doing mitzvos. Kagon, choli u'milchama v'ra'av u'kiyotze v'ahem. Things like sickness, war, famine, and the like. Meaning to say, a person, there are many potential obstacles in this world that prevent a person from observing the Torah, doing mitzvos and the like, studying chachma. For example, if a person is sick all the time, they're not going to have time to do mitzvos, they're not going to have the strength to do mitzvos, they're not going to have the strength to study Torah. Someone who's very poor and constantly having to earn a living, so they might not have much time to engage in wisdom and the like. So these things are obstacles to our ability to do Torah and mitzvos. So Hashem says, I'm going to say it outside a little first, and we'll read it inside. Hashem says, you know what? If you do the mitzvos, then I will give you the opportunity to do more mitzvos. So there'll be peace and prosperity. And likewise, if you fail to do the mitzvos and violate the Torah, then I will take away those opportunities. If you don't take advantage of the opportunities, they'll be removed. And instead of it being easy to pursue Torah and mitzvos, it'll be impossible, because your enemies will pursue you, and you'll be poor, and there'll be famine and drought and so on. So these are not the rewards. This is the Torah saying that I will help you, I will give you more opportunities if you deserve it. Or not even deserve it, but if you take advantage of them. So what are some of these opportunities? Kigon Sava, Vishalom, say prosperity and peace, Viriboy Kesa, Vizav, Kadeshalom, Naso, Kol Yamenu, Vidvarm Shaguf Tarchbahan. Because what do these things allow? They allow us not to be constantly pursuing physical things, right? Meaning to say, what does money, what does wealth give a person? Well, he could use wealth to buy a big house and have cars and the like, or he could use his wealth as an opportunity to do Torah and mitzvos. So he's not constantly seeking out more wealth. Kadesh Nizkel Chayal Haba. V'cheinu Omer B'Torah. Achar Shevtiach B'Tovas Olam Hazeh. Utztaka Tialanu Kinesh Marlasos. The Torah itself implies this, because it says after, it says if you do the mitzvos, you'll have prosperity. Kitztaka Tialanu Kinesh Marlasos. So this pasuk highlights the idea that Rambam saying, which is that the goodness in Olam Hazeh will be for us tztaka, insofar as it allows us to do more mitzvos and thereby get Olam Haba. V'chein, hodianu b'Torah, shim nazov Torah midas, Likewise, if we intentionally abandon the Torah, v'nasok behavlei hazman, and are engaged in the trivialities of time, in other words, we don't take advantage of the gift of time and prosperity to do what's meaningful and real, but instead we just use those gifts to focus on this world. Kinyan shenemar v'shman yeshurun v'yivat, like the pasuk says, and Yisrael or Yeshurun becomes fat, and they reject Hashem. Shadayan ha'emes yasir min ha'ozvim kol tovos ha'olam hazeh shehem chizu yadayim liv'ot. So Hashem will take away those gifts, those opportunities that you're not utilizing. U'mevi ha'alem kol ha'os ha'mon os osam miliknos ha'olam haba. And mimela, the things that will inhabit a person's ability to earn olam haba will become prevalent. Kedesh yovad birisham. And this is what we learn when we read in the Torah. What does it say? Tachas asher lo avadeta Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tov levav. So then, since you didn't take advantage of serving God with joy, so then avadeta seivecha, you'll serve your enemies, asher yishalchenu Hashem bach, that God sends towards you. Nimtza perush kol osan abrachas v'klalos al derech su. Kilomar. Im avadetem es Hashem b'simcha u'shmartem darko, if you serve God with joy and you observe His ways, so then mashpia lachem habrachos ha'elu u'marchek ha'klalos b'yam. Then God will give you these brachos and take away the klalos. Again, the brachos and the klalos, are they reward? No. They're just saying, look, if I see you taking advantage of these opportunities, I'll give you more opportunities. And if I see you wasting them, well, I'm not going to give you them. If you lack those opportunities, you'll have fewer opportunities to get Olam Haba. If you're given the opportunities, you'll have more. Ad shetiyu pinuyim lehischakem batorah v'lasok ba kedei shetizku l'chayim haba. V'yitev l'cha li'olam shekulo tov v'tarich yamim li'olam shekulo aroch. So the true reward is always Olam Haba, the spiritual and eternal life that follows death. V'nim tseisem zochem l'shnei olamos. Thus, if you do what's right, at least collectively, so you are zocha to two olamos, olam hazeh and olam haba. L'chaim tovim ba'olam hazeh, u'meviim l'chaim haba. Shem lo yikne po chachma, u'maisim tovim ein lo. Because if you don't acquire chachma and maisim tovim in this world, ba'me yizke, how would you expect possibly to get olam haba? As we noted before, the Rambam understands that olam haba is the naturalistic consequence of developing ourselves in this world. If we spiritually develop ourselves, so then we'll be able to naturally enjoy the spiritual existence that is Olam Haba. And if we fail to develop ourselves spiritually, so then we won't be able to enjoy it. We'll explain a little more in a moment. V'im azavtem es Hashem, u'shigisem b'machal u'v'mishteh u'znus v'dom lem. But if you abandon God and you are engrossed in eating and drinking and znus, mevi aleichem haklalos ha'elu, then you'll get these curses, u'meisir kol abrachos ad sheichlu yimeichem behevel v'fachad, until memela your days will be full with hevel, with futility and fear. You won't have an open heart, the lo guf shalem, or a complete body, lasos mitzvos. To study Torah, to pursue wisdom, to do mitzvos, you need a physical body that's healthy. You need a mind that's able to focus. And when you're running away from your enemies and you're anxious about every falling leaf, so surely you won't have the ability to develop that chachma. V'lo yalachem leiv panui v'guf shalem lasos ha-mitzvos kidei she-tovdu mechaye olam haba. V'nimtza she-badetem shnei olamos, and then it will turn out that you lost two olamos. She-mizman she-adam tarud ba-olam hazeh, b'choli u-v'milcham u-v'ravon, because when a person is busy in this world with sickness and war and hunger, eno mis-aseik lo b'chachma v'lo mitzvos, he won't be able to focus and be engaged in chachma and mitzvos bahen through those things, namely chachma and mitzvos, zochin l'chayei ha'olam haba. It's fascinating the Rambam writes this, because the Rambam himself was someone who struggled with many of these things. As a young child, they had to flee Spain where they were born because of persecutions for the Almohads, and for a couple of decades they wandered country to country. At one point they're in Eretz Yisrael and in Morocco and the like. And the truth, it was during those wanderings that the Rambam really grew in his wisdom and this Chachma, even though he never had a place to sit still for too long. But still, as we all know from our own lives, this is true. Now, three comments. Hopefully I'll remember what they were. The first comment is just a side point, which is the Rambam constantly stresses, in terms of doing mitzvos, he stresses mitzvos and chachma, because you need both for olam haba. But he also stresses the attitude, simcha and other ways as well, the attitude towards mitzvos. And you could ask, why is the attitude so important? What's important is Torah and mitzvos. And why does it make a difference what my attitude towards Torah and mitzvos are? I recently heard a shiur from someone named Reuven Leuchter. I think I mentioned him before. And he had a fascinating insight, which I think is very true, which is that even though the Sefer HaChinuch writes, and we know this to be the basis of many mitzvos, that the pu'ulos hachitzonios, the external acts, transform us, ma'orer hapnimios, and the like. But still, that only happens, or it primarily happens, if a person has the right attitude towards them. Meaning to say, mitzvos are indeed transformational. And when we do mitzvos, so the goal of so many mitzvos is to make us into better people. Like the Rambam famously says, when a person gives tzedakah, so will become a more generous person. That's why the Rambam writes, better to give a small amount of tzedakah, a lot, than one big lump slum, because the act themselves will transform us into being generous people. And this is true with many of the mitzvos. When you study Sefer HaChinuch, many of the mitzvos, he explains that these acts are significant, not just for their own right, but because they transform us, they make us into better people. But it's not totally automatic, or certainly to fully benefit from the mitzvos, simply doing these acts, if we don't really have the right attitude, so they won't really have the full effect. He gave an interesting example. He gave a couple of examples, but one of them was about tznius, which I thought was interesting. He said, imagine that you have a girls' school, and so you want to teach the girls to be tznuos. So you have a dress code. You have a uniform. And the uniform, of course, is very, very tznua. And you could even go and say, you have to wear the uniform all the time, not just when you're in school and the like. Well, will that necessarily produce tznius on its own? Would we just say, well, the chitzonios, which is in this case the wearing of these tznius de clothing, is ma'orer hapnimios, makes a person more tznua? Not necessarily. He said, go, for example, think of prep schools. So prep schools, they wear, all the guys, I don't know where the girls wear in prep schools. Maybe prep schools are just for guys. I don't know. But so they all wear, a jacket and a tie and the like, and they all dress in the same way. So does that make them tznuim or the like? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it's a different effect. Maybe it even could be unity among everybody, because by all wearing the same thing, there's a certain type of allegiance that develops and the like. But it's not necessarily the case, and he was arguing that when discussing his example was of the dress code or the uniform, that just telling people to dress tzanua will cause people to become tzanua. It has to be for the chitzonios to be ma'orer of the pnimios. Certainly, in the most effective way. So the chitzonios have to be done with a certain mindset and a certain kavana. And otherwise, they can remain very rote. Another example that comes to mind is how one of the reasons that's given for the dietary restrictions is that it produces in a person a certain type of discipline and not limitations on hedonism and the like. But it's not automatic. You look at some of these advertisements for Pesach hotels or summer kosher getaways, and what always comes to my mind is glatt kosher hedonism. And it's not automatically the case that the Torah dietary restrictions on their own will necessarily produce those results. A person can end up being just as gashmiistic despite observing the Hilchos Kashrus punctiliously. Now, that's not the only reason for Hilchos Kashrus, but that aspect of the mitzvah is true. So the Rambam here stresses that for a person to be a ben or bas olam haba, which means, as we explained, that they've developed themselves spiritually so that they could appreciate the spiritual existence. The Rambam stresses not just that you have to do the mitzvos and study the chachma, but he stresses the attitude that we have when doing these mitzvos and chachma, and especially, though he mentions a number of things, but especially focuses on simcha. And he gets that from the psukim which he cites, Tachas asher lo avadetas Hashem elokecha b'simcha uvetuv lev, meaning to say, if our avodas Hashem is not one of simcha, well, what is then? It's one of masa. It's one of burden. If one's avodas Hashem is always one in which, yes, they'll do the mitzvos, but the mitzvos always seem burdensome, and their attitude is, I'll do this if I have to, so then those mitzvos won't produce those results. And the same thing with chachma. Yeah, I'll go learn, but you're begrudging in your agreement. So that learning those mitzvos won't create the person that's a ben olam haba or a bas olam haba. It won't be transformational to the same degree. Yeah, did you have your hand up? No. Okay. So that's ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two relates to the general point that we see here and we've seen earlier in the Rambam, which is the fact that Olam Haba is the naturalistic consequence of development. And I think we mentioned this point, but I'd like to phrase it a bit differently in light of the parak that we've just read. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, L'fum tza'agra. What does that mean? In English, we would say, no pain, no gain. Literally, L'fum tza'ar, according to the tzar, according to the struggle, according to the difficulty, agra, that is the reward. So if you have two people, and one person is born into a family of Torah scholars, and for them, learning comes natural. That's what everybody does in their family. And anyway, it's relatively easy for them. They're very naturally intelligent and the like. And you have another person who, the opposite is the case. They don't grow up in a Torah family. Learning is difficult. So even if they learn much less, but lefum tzara agra, if their struggle is greater, so their reward will be greater. Or to take another example in the realm of chesed, some people are naturally, whether it's their nature or their nurture, But it's very easy for them to be generous, to give of themselves, to give of their time, to give of their possessions, to open up to people and help them. Easy, natural. Of course, they'll get rewarded. We have another person that struggles with it much more. They're naturally more self-centered. And they nevertheless struggle, go against their nature, and are generous. So the latter person, lefum sara agra, their reward will be so much greater. So you could ask, well, doesn't that contradict the idea of the Rambam? Because the Rambam says that naturally, if you perfect yourself spiritually with wisdom, then you'll experience Olam Haba. So I'll say that the person who, practically speaking, knows much more Gemara and many more Daf and many more Psukim, naturally he'll experience Olam Haba much more. And likewise, with respect to all mitzvos, chesed and the like. But the answer is no. No, not at all. Because, like we were just saying, the transformational effect of Torah and mitzvos is not simply a result of quantifiable actions. What matters with respect to the transformation is not just how many daf of Gemara has a person learned, how many acts of chesed have they done, how many Shmona Esreis have they said with kavana, how much tzedakah have they given. No. An act done in which one struggles to go against their nature, to do what's right, is going to be far more transformational than an act that just comes naturally. And that's why you could have people, sadly, that might be great Torah scholars. They know lots and lots of Torah wisdom. But it hasn't transformed them into being a good person. They might not be good people at all. Because like we said, the transformation that Torah gives us, and Torah is indeed transformational, but it's predicated upon having the right attitude, being open and receptive and looking for that transformation. And a person could study lots of Torah, but it's all about them. Maybe they learn so much Torah because they're so smart. It's stimulating. They get a lot of honor. People rave about their shiurim. They have charisma. They rise to fame. So the Torah is not transformational. It's not the time to discuss this, but when, sadly, there are rabbinic scandals, so people wonder, what happened? Don't they know so much Torah? The answer is they might. But Torah, there's no guarantee that Torah and mitzvos will automatically turn a person into a good person. Torah is an incredible way, the best way to transform a person into a good person, into a great person. But it's not automatic. And it's dependent upon their attitude going into it, like we just said. And that's why Lefum Tzara Agra is not at all a contradiction to Rambam's conception of Olam Haba being naturalistic. Because fewer, less Torah, fewer mitzvos done with a struggle are more likely to be far more transformative than many mitzvos done without a struggle. Now that doesn't mean that if it comes easy to you, then there's no hope. Everybody could grow, and like we've talked about before, a person's greatness is assessed not so much by objective standards, but how far they've come in the life. Okay. Yes?
When Ram says, more, O Rava, does he just mean less time in Gehenna?
No. Yes. For Rambam, that means a greater understanding of Hashem, greater closeness to Hashem. Mm-hmm. It's not more because Olam Haba, as he told us, is already eternal. It's life without death. Everybody dies, and they, who is a Ben Olam Haba, we know, Kol Yisrael Yisrael Mechelek Olam Haba, so everybody lives forever. We talked about Rambam's position in Gehenna isn't so simple, but you know, Chazal tell us that at least under normal circumstances, the maximum penalty for Gehenna is 12 months. So that means everybody is experiencing Olam Haba forever. But the Madrega of Olam Haba, which means closeness to Hashem, is dependent upon a person's ability to experience that closeness, which is dependent upon their spiritual development in this world. Okay, and there was a third point. I don't remember what it is. I'll tell you the point. Which is that there is a debate about Olam Haba. A very fundamental debate. The Rambam's position, as we've seen, is that Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence that happens after a person dies. And it lives forever. There is Tchias HaMesim. We talked about last week what the goal of Tchias HaMesim is for the Rambam, but it's spiritual existence forever. And we mentioned that the view of the Ramban, and this is probably the more mainstream view, it's a simple understanding of Chazal, is that Olam Haba is something that takes place after the soul and the body are reunited. Meaning to say that when a person dies, like the Rambam says, their body and their soul separate, and their soul exists in what the Ramban calls the Olam HaNeshamos. The Olam HaNeshamos is a spiritual existence. It includes Gehenna, Gan Eden, and different levels. And it's an entirely spiritual existence, somewhat like Rambam's Olam Haba. But then, at a certain point, there'll be Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is something that takes place after Yemos HaMashiach, and that ushers in the period of Olam Haba. And Olam Haba is experienced with the guf and the neshama reunited. Now, at first glance, that seems to be the diametrically opposite perspective of the Rambam. Rambam says it's a spiritual existence, and Ramban is saying it's a physical existence. But the truth is that the Ramban himself notes that their views are not so apart. Because everybody agrees Olam Haba is a spiritual existence. The question is whether it's a spiritual existence with a body or without a body. The Rambam says, what need would there be for a body if we have a spiritual existence? And thus, the spiritual existence will be soul without body. The Ramban says, and this is something that's hard for us to understand, but the truth is that when we think about who we are, we're more than just our soul. And therefore, when we think of the external life that we will live, that is Olam Haba, it's going to be more than just our soul. And that through doing Torah mitzvot, a person can elevate the physical body. And the existence of Olam Haba, even though we'll have a physical body, will be an entirely spiritual existence. But it will be who we are. We'll elaborate upon this as we go on. But I think that too is very relevant in terms of this point. Okay, let's do the next halacha. Mipnei zeh nisavu kol Yisrael nevi'ehem v'chachameihem l'yemos ha-mashiach. This is the reason why all of Israel longs for their prophets and their wise people, the Messianic era. Why do we want Mashiach so much? We want Mashiach. Why? Kidei shianuchu mimalchios she'enen menichos lahem lasok batorah uvimitzos kahogan. So that we will be left from those kingdoms who right now persecute us and don't allow us to engage in Torah and mitzvos as we wish. The Yimtzu Lahem Margoa, the Yarbu V'Chachma, will finally have a chance to be free to study Torah, to do mitzvos, Kedei Shiyizku L'Chayim Haba, so that we will thereby be able to earn Olam Haba. Not earn Olam Haba because we're doing it in order to get rewarded, that's the final parak, which we'll do next week, but rather because we seek that closeness to Hashem. And the Messianic era will be a time when we will finally have the opportunity, like he said in the previous halacha, to engage in Torah and mitzvos without distraction. Why do we long for Yemos HaMashiach? Because that will be a time when we won't have to worry so much about persecution, about parnasa and the like. Rambam maintains that the Messianic era is not going to be a time when nature changes. It's not going to be a time when we'll lack bechira. Fundamentally, everything will stay the same. What will change is that there'll be peace, prosperity, and therefore we'll have the opportunity to serve Hashem as we long for. And that's why tzaddikim want Yemos HaMashiach. In those days, there will be a proliferation of knowledge and wisdom and truth. The world will be filled with knowledge of God. The Namar, the lo yulmedu od ish esreyehu v'ish es achiv, and people won't be teaching each other ways of war. V'namar v'asirosi es leva evan mibsarchem, I'll remove the heart of stone from you and replace it with a heart of flesh, meaning to say again, we'll have those opportunities. V'pnei she'oso ha'melech she'amod mizar David, because that king, who's a descendant of King David, Baal Chachma Yeser Mishlomo, he'll be even more wise than Shlomo. V'navi gadol hu karov l'Moshe Rabbeinu, will be a great prophet, almost as great as Moshe. No one will ever be as great as Moshe, but he'll be karov l'Moshe. U'lefikach yilamed kol ha'am v'yore osam derech Hashem, and therefore he'll be able to teach the whole nation and direct them in the way of God. V'yavo kol ha'goyim l'sham o sh'ne'amar v'haya b'acharis ha'yamim nachon yeh har beis Hashem b'roshe harim. So there'll be universal recognition of God and allegiance to God, not just among Jews, but the whole world. Everyone will turn to Yerushalayim and see that as the place of God and the place of wisdom. V'sof kol haschar kulo, but the true ultimate reward is not Yemos HaMashiach. V'atova she'acharona she'en lehefsek v'geiraon hu, the ultimate goodness that has no end and no lacking, that is Chaye HaOlam Haba. Ha'al Yemos HaMashiach hu ha'olam hazeh, ha'olam kiminhago holech. The Messianic era is a this-worldly experience. It's not Olam Haba. That's true whether you take the approach of the Rambam or the Ramban. Everybody agrees that and there is also a debate about Yemos HaMashiach between the Rambam and the Ramban, and just as there's a debate about Olam Haba. But they both agree that Yemos HaMashiach is a this-worldly experience, and Olam Haba is an other-worldly experience. It's an entirely spiritual experience, one that we can really barely relate to. That's why the Rambam cited earlier that kol neviim lo nisnavu l'Yemos HaMashiach, but Olam Haba ayin lo ra'as Elokim zulasecha. The prophecies are all about the Messianic era. Olam Haba, no prophet could see, because even a prophet is a physical person. Ukvar amarnu chachamim harishonim, ein ben Olam Zel Yimos HaMashiach Ela Shibud Malchus Bevad. What's going to change Yimos HaMashiach? There's no difference except for Shibud Malchios, except for persecution. Meaning to say, we'll finally not be persecuted, which will give us the opportunity to serve God as we've always longed for. It's actually interesting because the simple reading of the Gemara is that this statement contradicts the statement that he said at the beginning of Parak Ches about Kol Nevi'im Lo Nisnavu El Yimos HaMashiach. If we have time, we'll explain that a little better, but let me take your question first.
So, are all the Neshamos now just hanging out till Olam Haba?
So if we take the Ramban's approach, basically, the Neshamos are waiting for Yimos HaMashiach, for Olam Haba. So they're in Gan Eden. It's not like a bad place, but in a certain sense, Gan Eden is also a holding pen, A, waiting, but B, Ramchal explains also to spiritually prepare the person for Olam Haba, meaning to say that our existence in this world, especially if we were chote, demands a certain tikkun. It says that Eliyahu, maybe certain other special people, Chanoch, went up to Shamayim alive. What that means was that they reached such a madrega that there was no clap between their guf and their neshama. And therefore, there's no reason for their guf and their neshama to separate upon death. Most people, there is a clash. And therefore, there needs to be a tikkun to the guf, which is the deterioration for most people of the body, and a tikkun to the neshama, which includes Gehenim, and in a certain sense, maybe even Gan Eden. And it's that process that prepares them for the ultimate existence of Olam Haba, whereby the guf and the neshama reunite, but in a way in which there's no clash, there's absolute harmony and unity. The Ramban also holds, and a number of Rishonim hold this way, that there might be two resurrections. One resurrection, one Tchias HaMesim, will be Yimos HaMashiach for Tzadikim, which will allow them to experience Yimos HaMashiach. And then the ultimate Tchias HaMesim, about which we say, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chayluk Olam Haba, will take place before the Yom HaDin HaGadol HaNora, and that will usher in the period of Olam Haba. Does that answer your question? Question is, should we do Perek Yud today, or should we save it for next time and talk a little bit more about Olam Haba? Let's talk a little bit more about Olam Haba. So the Rambam told us at the beginning that Olam Haba is not something that we could understand. The Ramban says something along the lines of, you won't know it until you're there. So there's not much hope. But, and you'll sometimes hear people say things like, it's not a Jewish concept to focus on or think about the afterlife. And there's a lot of truth to that. One reflection of that is the fact that the Torah itself does not describe Olam Haba, it only perhaps alludes to it. And that might be because thinking about Olam Haba as a distraction for what we're supposed to really focus on, which is Olam Hazeh, improving ourselves and improving the world. And a focus on Olam Haba could distract a person. A focus on Olam Haba could distract a person because they don't focus on this world. They see this world as this way station in which no attention should be given to it. Could be a distraction because thinking too much about Olam Haba could cause a person to be motivated by Olam Haba. We'll read in the next parak that a person should serve God and do what's right because it's right, not just because they want to get rewarded. And as such, and anyway, what's the point of thinking too much about Olam Haba? Like the Rambam said, you can't understand it anyway. But at the same time, what we see from the Rambam is that while it might be the case that we don't really know what Olam Haba is, understanding that it exists is extraordinarily important, because it defines a person's orientation. Chazal tell us that the machlokes between Yaakov and Esav was one about a focus on the here and now versus a focus on the eternity. Chazal tell us that already from before they were born, Yaakov and Esav were fighting about Olamos. And that's what the Bechorah was. Yaakov says to Esav, Mechor li Bechorascha Yom. Esav says, Hine anochi holech lamos v'lamaza li Bechorah. I'm going to die anyway. What do I need the Bechorah for? It was a focus on the here and now. As Ramban explains over there, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. And Yaakov's focus is the opposite. An appreciation that what's eternal is not that which is temporal. A constant remembering that this world is, in fact, a prizdor lifnei trachlin. But that doesn't mean that our avoda is not supposed to be in this world. Our avoda here is this world. It says, Yafesha achas ba'olam habayit mikol chai olam hazeh. Greater is one moment in Olam Haba from all of the pleasures of this world. But still, Yafesh Sha'achas of Tshuva and Maisim Tovim Bolam Hazem Mikol Chai Olam Haba. Because the only way we could experience that eternal life is by developing ourselves so that we could enjoy it and experience it and be close to God. And that could only be done in this world, because after death, that's not something that we can do anymore. There's no longer bechira, there's no longer struggle, there's no longer room for Torah and mitzvos. So, people that say that, well, it's all, you know, Judaism's all about Olam Hazeh, and you're not supposed to think about Olam Haba, are really missing the point. And that's why many Sfarim spend a lot of time describing Olam Haba, even the Rambam. Not describing what it is because we can understand it, but because we have to have the right orientation. The right orientation is not to be in the heavens when you're in this world. When you're in this world, feet have to be grounded and planted on the world. All that's true. But your orientation has to be towards that which is eternal. And that's what Olam Haba is. Like we've seen, that's why tzaddikim long for Olam Haba, the Rambam says. Not because they want to be rewarded, not because they're doing the mitzvos to get the reward, but because they love Hashem. And the place where they could be mizdabik to Hashem incomparably is Olam Haba. It's remembering. And if you have that attitude, your experience in Olam Hazeh will be totally different. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that one of the central lessons of the book of Eov is exactly that. What was Eov's problem? Eov was a righteous person, it says. He didn't sin. But the Rambam notes doesn't say anywhere that he was wise. His focus was Olam Hazeh. And that's why when he lost his Olam Hazeh, when he lost all of the goodness that he had in Olam Hazeh, he was totally and absolutely broken. Now, none of us want any of those things to happen to us, and we daven to Hashem that we should never be subject to that, those types of Yisurin and that type of Nisayon. But the Rambam says that when Iyov, after the experience of the whirlwind, one of the things that he appreciated is that real life is what is eternal. And that's something that can never be taken away from you. Because it's true and because it's real. And once a person realizes this, then as bad as their life becomes with respect to Yisurin and Olam Hazeh, but they'll never be totally broken. Because what's true and what's real and what's eternal can never be taken away. And that's why we study about Olam Haba. Because it helps us reorient ourselves. We live in a world that more and more is exceedingly focused on the material. And the culture around us denies the whole notion of anything spiritual. A human being is no different from an animal, fundamentally, because they're just a bunch of cells. A human being is just a little more sophisticated. There's no appreciation that we are much more than our bodies. And the focus in Olam Haba, why we study it, why have we done these two prakim and spent these weeks studying Olam Haba, it's so we could appreciate that. And that's why, even if we can't understand what Olam Haba is and why it's so great, but we've studied this because it hopefully reorients ourselves so that we can appreciate and focus on that which is real. Not easy. Shalom, have a hatzlacha.